Okay, we're starting with a very, very beautiful drasha of the Beis Halevi. I'm assuming you all read it through pretty well. So let's begin. And the general theme of this Beis Halevi is that Yom Kippur is when the whole concept of Torah Shebaal Peh, as we know it, came into existence. And we'll see how that connects to the Avodas Yom Kippur, which we'll get to. So let's begin. I'm not sure I have time to read the whole thing, but okay. V'yapet parski tisa hisa v'zel v'shonom. Hecha nata Moshe karnei ha'hod. At the beginning. Rav Yehuda bar Nachman amar kishe Moshe kateb es ha'torah nishtar b'kumos kima devu ha'rosho u'misham nas. I'm sorry. Start from the second column, Ode. The first paragraph of the second column, Ode. Ode isa v'yapet parshas kitisa. Al pasuk vayhi kasher karav Moshe el hamachne mistakel Moshe b'luchos v'ro haktav shebehen parech v'kavdu al day Moshe v'nafu miyado v'nishbu. Moshe, this is a famous medrash. Moshe, when he saw Chet Egel, he saw the letters in the luchos go up to Shemayim, and then the luchos got very heavy and they fell and they smashed. V'yesh kohavim kavanaso ma'uze sheparach mehen haktav. What does that mean exactly, that the letters flew away from the ruchos? Also, what does it mean that they got heavy on his hands? It's Parshat Shat. Parshat Shat, what does that mean? The letters flew away, and then suddenly it got heavy. What exactly does that mean? So, the Beis Halevi is going to develop a yesod here. A lot of times, a gadol has a yesod that he wants to develop. And he finds, like, a medrash to connected to. So that's what's happening here. You shouldn't think that the Beis Halevi thought of this whole principle to explain this matter. That's not what happened. He had a principle about Torah, Bechsav, Baal Peh, and he's going to use it to answer this medrash. Okay, that's just the intuitive feeling that I have, and I'm pretty sure it's correct. Okay, now let's go. Hinei, the medrash parshas kitisa al pasuk kisobucha es hadvarim ha'eilah. On the side, I wrote down all these two things more. You have it all in front of you, right? Good. It says, "Ki al pi adbarim elo karati kar bris v'im Yisrael." Bisa medrash rab of zel shano echtov lo rube torasai. So, Amar. I'm reading the parts that are underlined. Amar le Moshe, ala seder mikro mishna v'talmud de'agada shenemar. Amar lo Moshe, echtovo ta lehem bichtav? Question mark? Amar le lo, bipnei shagui lefanai, shoasidin umos ol mishchot behen, v'litolo ta mehen v'chule. Elo, hamikra ni nosein bichtav, v'am kama, So what's happening in this medrash? There's a pasuk that says that Moshe said to Hashem, "Should I write down everything?" In other words, Hashem told Moshe everything: Mikra, Mishnah, Talmud, Agada, everything. Moshe said to Hashem, "Should I write everything down?" What did Hashem say? No, why not? Because eventually the Jews are going to go into Golos, the Goyim are going to rule over them, and they're going to take the whole Torah. So whatever's written down, the Goyim are going to sort of, you know, usurp for themselves. So I don't want, you know, them to usurp Torah Shebaal Peh too. So write down Torah Shebechsav, and Torah Shebaal Peh will be separate. Okay. V'lamanu mimenu de mishum hachi. That means therefore. Mem shin hei with the two lines. Mishum haki. Mishum haki lo nitan hakol b'ktav. Mishum shum asom hayinotu no tol gam kein. Ukmo shirin okhaka b'yimei talmish etiku lehem a Torah shibachsav. The reason why Hashem didn't write down Torah shibachsav peh, the only reason why, was because later Hashem knew that it would be taken by the Goyim, like Talmai, the Greeks. They translated the Chumash into Greek, into the other languages. So that's bad. The goyim are like taking our Torah. So the way it is now, at least we have Torah Sebel Peh. That's ours. That they can't take. That's why Torah Sebel Peh wasn't supposed to be written down. The Lohai Yisrael moved on to Mehem, and the Jews wouldn't be separated from them at all. Mishumachi Nasam Bal Peh, Shoyikabu Oso Mehem, Yisrael Yisrael moved on to Mehem. Whatever the goyim got their hands on, it ended up being, yeah, we have the Torah, they have the Bible, and, you know, it's not Torah Shebichsav which really differentiates Jews and goyim. What differentiates, a lot of goyim is Torah Shebichsav. What differentiates, what makes us Jewish, what makes us different and special, what is it? Torah Shebal Peh. So therefore, Hashem understood that if Torah Shebal Peh would have been written down, then somehow the goyim would have gotten a hold of that. They would have used it in their own way, and it would have ended up blurring the distinctions between Jews and goyim. Therefore, Hashem said, "No, you can't write down Torah Shebal Peh." Hashem said to Moshe, "Ukimo shanachnu roin ato b'chush." Now we see this actually happening. The Beis Levi says, "Did ikram avdu ben Yisrael lumasom huachas Torah Shebal Peh?" What differentiates us from the Christians? Torah Shebal Peh, they also have a Bible, but you know, they have their own interpretation, which we know is wrong. The only reason why it's obvious that we're different than the Christians is because we have our own approach to the Chumash. If the Christians had Torah Shebal Peh, they usurped Torah Shebal Peh as well, it would have been different. Okay, now, so that's the basic Levi's shot in the Medrash. Again, the Medrash basically says it, that Moshe said to Hashem, "Should I write everything down?" Hashem said, "No, don't write everything down, because eventually the goyim will rule over the Jews, and it'll be bad news if the goyim have full access to Torah Shebal Peh as well." It was called Eis Ra'as Hashem, Heter Torah Secha. We had to, in a sense, break the Torah to save the Torah. It's something only the Gedolim can do once every, you know, a couple thousand years. They decide they want to do this. So it's not for you and me to try at home. Okay. But this is the original plan. Now, v'samchu drashasam al hapasuk, and Chazal connected this drasha that Hashem wanted to write the whole Torah, but that Hashem said don't write the whole Torah for this reason onto a pasuk. Which pasuk? It says k'sov l'cha es hadvarim ha'eleh. This is the pasuk that we had above. This is Shmos Perek Lamed Daled pasuk of Zayin. Write down these words, new Torah Shebichsav. Uvo lemayet inach. That comes to exclude. Inach means the other. The other word, the other part of Torah, quotes ki al pi hadvarim ha'eila. Haynu shebal peh karasi yitzchor bris ves Yisrael. Al pi hadvarim ha'eila. The phrase al pi hadvarim ha'eila is a reference to Torah Shebal Peh. Al pi hadvarim ha'eila. See, when you read the pasuk itself sounds like it's one thing. Here, read the pasuk again. Go to the top of the paragraph. Let's read the pasuk. The pasuk says, the first line of the paragraph, "Ksov l'cha, write for you, es hadvarim ha'ele, these words, ki al pi hadvarim ha'ele, k'vayt tizkor bris v'yavim Yisrael." Because with these words, I established a bris. So what is the pasuk shot on the pasuk? Pasuk shot on the pasuk is, write these words down, because these are the words that I'm using for the bris between me and B'nai Yisrael. Chazal had another shot in that pasuk, which was, "Ksov b'cha Yisrael me'ele," write these words down, as opposed to other words, meaning write Torah Shebal Peh down, ki al pi, like Torah Shebal Peh, because Torah Shebal Peh shouldn't be written down, because the bris between Hashem and B'nai Yisrael is through Torah Shebal Peh. That's how Chazal read the pasuk, not the pasuk shot. Very often Chazal read the Chumash in a different approach than the simple shot of the pasuk. So that pasuk in Parshas Ki Tisa, the Beis Levi says in Perek Lamed Daled, is a remez that is merames to the theme of the Medrash that he quotes, that Moshe said, "Should I write the whole thing down?" And Hashem said, "No, Torah Shebal Peh, write down. Torah Shebal Peh, don't write down, because that's the bris." Okay. I want you to keep track of where these psukim are. That's why I wrote it on the side. Oh, so skip down a few lines. I don't want to take questions now because I want to get to basically these basic theme on the table, so you know where he's going, and then most things will become more clear. And then afterwards, I'll take questions. Okay, on this topic. Vihine tam ze shayach. I skipped a few lines down towards underline. Okay. Vihine tam ze shayach achar sheyuso begolus. Obviously, this whole idea applies when we're in golus. Ukemosha mubemedrish hanal shegulul gafanai shesidun umus haolam vishol pehet vitolotam mehem uv mehem. When we were in Golos, we had a strengthening the difference between us and the Goyim. In other words, the need to emphasize and strengthen the difference between us and the Goyim, comes up when mostly? When we're where? In Golos. That's what the Medrash says. What does Hashem say? Hashem didn't say to Moshe, oh, I'm afraid the Jews are going to assimilate in Yerushalayim, therefore I'm not going to write down Torah Shebal Peh. No. He said, I'm afraid the Goyim are going to control them. That's Golos. And then they need to be different. Now, this is the first line of... So now we're coming to the beginning of the punchline. The next six lines is where the Beit Halevi gives us his... Well, the next six lines is the introduction to the punchline. And the next six lines after that is the punchline itself. The Imkain... The words are engraved on the luchos. Charus means chayus, freedom. The Gemara says in Erubin that if the first luchos wouldn't have been broken, we would have never gone into Golos. The first luchos is koach, ruchnius koach was so great, we would have never gone into Golos had Moshe not been forced to break the luchos. That's one shot of charus. A lot of people think what charus means. So that means that this whole medrash and this whole hashkafic principle of Torah Shebichtav written down, Torah Shebaalpeh, Baalpeh, none of this would have been necessary had the first luchos not been broken. Ve'im kein, and if so, b'shas nesinas luchos harishonim, hayayachol liyos hachol bichtav. Theoretically, by the first luchos, it could have all been written down. Because according to the Medrash, why wasn't Torah Shebaalpeh written down? Because of the need in Golos that Bnei Israel should be differentiated from the Goyim. Whatever the Goyim get their hands on, it ends up blurring the distinctions between us and the Goyim. So therefore, since Hashem knew we were going to go into Golos, you can't write Torah Shebaalpeh down. Ah, but by the first Luchos, if the first Luchos there would have been no Golos, then theoretically, it could have all been written down. Now, Uve Emes, Dehach Pasuk, that Pasuk, quote, Zichtov Cho et Hadvarim Ha'ela, Kevoyim Ha'ela Karati Yitro, Bris Ves Yisrael. That's a quote. That Pasuk is Shmos Perek Lama Dalet. Is that Pasuk found in the context of the first Luchos or the second Luchos? The second luchos, kimehach pasuk. From that pasuk, Darash HaMedrash, the Medrash learns out the Mishnah, the Talmud, the Agada, muchroch milos balper. That's the pasuk where we learn the idea of everything of Torah Shebaalpeh from. Skip the next few lines. Harei kasu v'parsha kitisa achar ma'aseh ha'egel. We're building up to the punchline here. That pasuk, which Chazal make a big deal out of, ooh, Torah Shebichtav is Bichtav. Torah Shebaalpeh is Baalpeh. Where is that pasuk found? The pasuk which has the language, Alpi, Hadvarim Ha'elu, where is that found? By Luchos Shniyos, by Akhmaisa Ego. When Hashem was about to give Moshe the second ruach, that's when he said this pasuk. What's the basic lady going to say? He's going to say exactly that by the first luchos, we wouldn't have had what? By the first luchos, we wouldn't have had Torah Shebal Peh as we know it. We'll see. I mean, there would have been some Torah Shebal Peh, as I'll explain. But basically, 98.5% of Torah Shebal Peh as we know it, wouldn't have existed. Where would it have been? What? On the luchos. Written down. Let's read. This is the punchline. Ubabad and Eriza Mukhraf Lomar Debarishonim Haya Hakol Bechtav. The basic lady maintains that the vast majority of Torah Shebal Peh was written down on the first luchos. The Kol Mashe Talmid Basik Asa Dechadesh Haya Hakol Nichtav Al Haluchos Ayud Dechtav Elokim Shaya Benes. It was all on the luchos. Every chiddush, every shot, every possible shot in the chumash that one could think of that is reasonable would have been written down. You see, Torah Shebal Peh, it means like, what is Torah Shebal Peh? So Hashem gave us the chumash. Hashem gave Moshe shots of words in the chumash. Like, what's an esrog? I don't know. Excuse me. What's a pre-Eitz Hadar? Torah says Eitz Hadar. What's a pre-Eitz Hadar? Hashem told Moshe it's an esrog. Okay, that's one. That's part of Torah Shebal Peh. That would have written down. You would have had pre-Eitz Hadar footnotes. Look down, esrog. Okay, then Torah Shebal Peh means Hakom Moshe Mitzinah, like shiurim. Like how tall does the machitza have to be? 10 tefachim. So Torah says make build a sukkah. Footnotes on the bottom. 10 tefachim tall is a machitza. Then Hashem gave Moshe the Yud Gimel Midos Shatar Nedeshet Bahem. You know, the rules of how to explain the Torah, which the Tanayim used to develop new pshatim in the Torah. So every possible pshat in the pasuk, and every possible pshat about a pshat in the pasuk that one could ever have thought of, would have been written down. So you read the pasuk, like a one-line pasuk, and you'd have like, you know, 2,500 pages of drushos on that pasuk. Footnoted, annotated, you know, with all the, you know, the, all, whatever, on each pasuk. That's what the first luchos looked like, according to the Beis Levi. Now, obviously, that is, obviously, on a physical, natural level, that is impossible, because you can't fit all of Torah Shebal Peh on the luchos. But the first luchos written by Derech Nes. The Gemara talks over and over again how the first luchos were by Derech Nes, that the letters were floating in midair. So the Beis Levi says, just like we find Makaros, that there were nisim gluim in the first luchos, in the way the letters were like the first luchos were hewn through and through. That means like cut through all the way. So how do you make a sama? How do you make a sama? So like if this is a piece of stone, I want, this is my sama. Well, to make a sama, I have to cut a hole in a circle through the luchos, and this piece is like sort of floating in midair. Well, that's the next. That's one next. So Gemara, one step. The Gemara describes other miracles that are similar to this, that basically when you lift the luchos around, you could beat it, when you flipped it around, the question what it was. When you flipped it around, let's say, I don't think Shemuel Kappa. I think it's going to get into this. When you flipped it around, some say, the others that also don't think Shemuel Kappa. Others say that it was the letters backwards, but they were flipped. And if you turn this around, all the letters would be backwards. So imagine flipping it around and then turning each letter to face the right direction. That's what some people say happened. But either way, the luchos could rip from either side. That's the mace. So basically, we said, once you have one, two, you know, infinity plus infinity, infinity. Once it's a mace already, I'm assuming, I'm not a mathematician, but If my father hears this tape, if that's not true, so you can tell me, he's a mathematician. Once there are nisim already, it's not a big deal to assume that there were other nisim on the first luchos, which he quotes from, we'll get to a medrash about that, he says this. So all of Torah Shebaal Peh was written on the first luchos, I imagine in small print, I don't know exactly how it was, it's a maze. So that's the basic lady says.
Look, what?
This was an extra. He wanted to give us the whole Torah. Okay. The Kol Ma'asham Basik Asi Yuchadish Hayi B'Kol Nuktav Aluchos Ayei Ksav Okim Sayim Beneis. Ukimo Mem B'Samech Shev Aluchos Dibeneis Hayu Omdin. The Mem and the Samech of the Luchos, like I drew the Samech, a Mem also. A Mem too? A Mem has a piece? Oh, wait, Mem Sofis, Mem Sofis. A Mem Sofis, it's a square piece that just floats there. Ukimochen Hayu Alehem Beneis Kol HaTorah. Now, to say this on his own would be hard. So he quotes a Medrash. He quotes a Gemara Yerushalmi, which he thinks says it. The Beis HaLevi thinks, yeah, that what he just said, that Torah Shebaal Peh was written down on the Luchos, i.e. it was Torah Shebaal Peh, basically. He thinks the Yerushalmi said that. Let's read it inside. Vayein v'Yerushalmi d'shkolin, Perek Vav. That's the Talmud Yerushalmi in Mesech HaShkolin, Perek Vav. Quote, it says, Mizeh u'mizeh heimak tuvim. That's in Shmos Perek Lamed Beis. It's on the side, Pasuk Tes Vav. That's by the first Luchos. High Pasuk, Kasuv Gabi Luchos Rishon. That's by the first Luchos. That's where it says, you can read it from both sides, written on both sides. Quote, Chanina ben Achai, Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Bain kol dibur v'dibur dikdukei v'osioseha shel Torah. In between each of the dibros, you had the dikdukei and osioseha shel Torah. Which he thinks means, the dikdukei means all the ways to learn things out, all the possible letters that, in a sense, can come out of the Torah. All the possible, that's what he learns. Harei lehedya, it's clear, Takoya Kosuvan, it was all written down. That's what he says. Now you should know, that's not the only pshat in that Yerushalmi. If you look up that Yerushalmi inside, there are other pshat. But the Beis HaLevi thinks that Yerushalmi means his chiddush. What's his chiddush? That what you and I call Torah Shebaal Peh was basically written down on the Luchos. Now, when I say 98.5%, what I mean by that is there is one small part of Torah Shebaal Peh which would have still been Baal Peh. And that is, whenever a new case comes up, you have to apply the old Torah to a new case, like electricity. In other words, that wouldn't have been on the Torah, but when electricity popped up, so they'd open up the Luchos and read the Luchos, and find which line fits for electricity, you know, mutter us or whatever. That's why I'm saying 98.5%. But basically, all of the drushos and all of the analysis Chazal put into the psukim and this, everything, would have all been written down. Tzav Kuftal, Amar Akhista, Ksav Shebeluchos, Nikra Mibifnim, Nikra Mibachutz. The Ksav and the Luchos could be read on the inside and on the outside. Kemo, Kagon, Nevov Buvan Behar Rahav Suru Varas. Now, what this means is as follows. The way basically you understand this line of the Gemara is saying as follows. Take the word Nevov. Now, if you flip that word around, what you have is... One second. Oh, okay. This is Nevuah backwards. But, if you take this and flip it over, it would look like this, right? But on the Luchos, it didn't say this, it said this. You understand? So this is the front side. This is the front. Front. This is what the back side should have been. But this is what the back side was really. It should have been this, but it was this. That was the next. What do you mean by the one that else has? That if you read the root goes, intelligence have both sides. Now, what's very strange in this Gemara is that the words that it chooses are words that aren't in the Aseret Dibros. Nehu, what are the other words? Bahar, Suru. These aren't in the Aseret Dibros. There are other places in the Chumash. Why choose those words? It was the first time about it, They discuss, they say, give me an example. Basically, they say, La Daka means, the Gemara didn't mean these exact words. It meant that this is the theme. Okay? But that's a powerful question, which the Mefarshim are bothered by. Why would the Gemara give basically a non-existent example? Do you understand the question? This is not only who calls this word in the boom. It's not on the best of Dibros. Oh, the Beis Lady said, what's he going to say? It was on the Rukos. According to me, everything was on the Rukos. So when the Gemara gives that example, it's a good example. This is a beautiful shot. Let's read it inside. Tafsa Gemara, Hani Shrosha Tevos. The Gemara grabbed these three words. She'enam Kal Be'Aseret HaDibros. They're not there. The Rak Mishum, the Kolatoria Kosuben. No, but everything was there. On the first Lukos, this statement that they're written on both sides is by the first Lukos, back in Paraglamid base. That's the Pasuk. In the first Lukos. So therefore, when the Gemara gives the example, if the example's fine. I mean, still, why choose these three? I don't know why these three words. But they were on the Lukos, everything was on the Lukos. So the Beis Hillel Levi says, with his pshat, you can understand that Gemara better. You hear? That's nice. Again, the Mefarshim, Rashi and Tosfos don't say this. By the way, you should know, by the way. Put this in your book. Rashi and Tosfos ask this question and give a different answer. They say, like, la dafka. So that means, it sounds like they didn't, that wasn't their approach. Okay. So that's the punchline. That's the basic theme. Now, what the rest of the drasha is like applying this theme to other psukim, which we'll get to in a minute. Yeah, they were three-dimensional. They were a rock. You take a slab of stone and you drill through it. So Moshe carried down like a slab of stone. Sure. By the way, they weren't circular on top. That's a Christian thing. That's Michelangelo. Michelangelo, I think, when he drew the picture of Moshe with, we discussed in this class. They were rectangular.
Why is that?
I don't know. Maybe it's a nicer picture if it's circular. But what can you do? That's a mistake. Next paragraph. So based on this, he wants to explain the Medrash. Here's what he wants to say. When the Medrash says that Moshe saw the letters of the Luchos going up to Shemayim, right? So which letters exactly did he see? He wanted to say as follows. Originally, Hashem was going to give us the whole Torah. But once Chet Egel is happening, at that point, the concept of Golos has now been brought down to the world because there would have been no Golos, but now there's going to be Golos. So as Chet Egel is happening, Moshe sees it. Which letters go up to Shemayim? Which letters? Tarsh Baal Peh. This is the Beis Halevi's, own approach to that Medrash. Torah Shabbat Peh flew up to Shemayim. Oh! Once Torah Shabbat Peh flew up to Shemayim, that's the pshat that the Ruchos now became heavy, which he interprets to mean Moshe was left carrying Torah Shabbat Peh. Now, by the Ruchos Rishonos, did Hashem ever tell Moshe, here's Torah Shabbat Peh, transmitted to Bnei Yisrael? No! That wasn't part of Moshe's job. What was Moshe's job? To bring the glucose down with everything written down. So that means Moshe was never given the authority to teach Tarsh Baal Peh. So that means when the letters of Torah are up assigned to Shemayim, Moshe is now bringing down Torah Shebichsav with no Tarsh Baal Peh. Torah Shebichsav with no Torah Sebaal Peh cannot survive. It can't last. It can't work. In a sense, it's heavy. It's like, it's a burden. It won't work. That's not what Hashem wanted. That's what the Medrash means figuratively when it says the Luchos got heavy. The Luchos, it's not that they got heavy, suddenly physically they got heavy. Some of us say that the Luchos are very heavy, and Moshe carried them to Derech Nes. When he saw the Luchos, the Nes stopped and they got heavy and they fell. That's one angle. Same weight. Moshe said, I can't give this to Bnei Yisrael. I can't give it to Hershey because I have no Hershey Baal Peh. It's not going to work. It's not going to function properly. It's going to malfunction. That's the shot of Kvedim. They're not going to know what an Esrog is. They're not going to know how to put on tefillin. They're not going to know anything. It's going to be a burden on them, as opposed to a Torah's Chaim. Torah's a Torah's Chaim. You have mitzvos and you do the mitzvos. And Esrog, you know, there won't be anything. They won't know what to do first. What to do second. They won't know what to do at all. Without Torah Sebaal Peh, Torah Sebaal Peh is like a closed book. It's a burden on Bnei Yisrael. That's the Shach Kavedim. Got it? That's his angle on the Medrash. Okay. That shot in the Medrash isn't crucial to the Vort, by the way, as I said before. The Vort here is the Ashkafic principle that Torah Sebaal Peh wouldn't have existed in the same way. Now, he then goes on to say that he's convinced that a lot of Sukkim fits with this theme. And just my angle on this. Okay, I'll show it to you. You know, I try to be intellectually honest. It's a great board. You know, I'm trying to sell it to you. Kishen isbonim b'psukim nirakim. I'm sorry for the next paragraph. The first full paragraph on page 2. Behine. Behine kishen isbonim b'psukim nirakim at mefurish ve'edja the pasuk came. It's almost explicit that this is correct. Dere kemo de darash b'medrash hanal midichsiv v'idaber Hashem eschad v'im ha'el lemor shemar Hashem l'moshe b'sinai mikra mishna lachos v'agados v'afilu masha talmud shoel l'rav. Right? That is Shmos Perakof Pasagal. Right? So it says Hashem told Moshe everything. Where did Chazal get that from? What's the drasha? The yotzelehem zeh meribui de Kol Hadzvarim. It said Hashem told Moshe Kol Hadzvarim. So Chazal went out. Kol Hadzvarim means Mashmo Kol Tarku Amar. He told him everything. Now, the Harei Kimochein Amar Hakasuv Hanemar Beluchos Rishonim BeParshas Ekev VaYitain Hashem Eli Eshne Luchos Mechule VeAlehem Kechol Hadzvarim Asher Dibarim Lachem Bahar. That pasuk, where Moshe is describing the luchos that Hashem gave to him, he's describing there the first luchos, if you look in the Chumash, it uses the same phrase, kechol hadvarim. So the Beis Levi says, that's what Moshe was saying. The same kol hadvarim that Hashem told me, those were the kol hadvarim that were written down. Hare digam b'chsivatan shoha luchos amar kechol hadvarim. The Gam came Yisrael with the Chsivasan, Gam Mishneh v'Talmud v'Agada, etc. And he quotes the Gemara Yerushalmi, which learns out of that phrase Kechol Hadvarim of all of Torah Sebaal Peh. We're going to skip those few lines. So go to Hare. The part that's underlined. See it there? 3 lines later. Hare Lehedja. It's clear. It's explicit. Temehach Krod v'Aleim Kechol Hadvarim. That's the quote. The Ayri, which is talking about Ksivas, Jaluchos, Marbe Mine Ga Mishneh Talmud Bukhatar Shabbat. So that's one beautiful vort, that the Kohat Zarim by the first Luchos, which Chazal say meant Hashem told Moshe everything, that exact same phrase is used regarding Moshe describing what was written down. So whatever Hashem told Moshe was written down, i.e. all of Torah Sebaal Peh. Now, Virak gave luchos shnios ksiv b'parashas Kitisa. It says there, Tisol decha Shnei Luchos Avonim Harishonim. Harishonim. Hashem tells Moshe to cut out the stones. V'kosat Yaluchos Es Hadivarim Asher Hayu Aluchos Harishonim Asher Shibarta. See, now you're gonna see. Tells Moshe, I'm gonna write down that which was on the first Luchos which you broke. Now, Amar Lo Sheyachzor VeYichtov Lo Osan Hadvarim Shaluchos Harishonim VeEis Sheshibro. When he broke them, Dereish Tarsh Bel Lo Shibram Klal. Why did he make Tarsh Bel Pe? Why did he break those? Because they brought up into Shemayim. See, this is why he needs the board. Not so pasht. So assume that this is pshat. But that's what he's saying is. And by the way, if you notice, it says Hadvar. What doesn't it say in this pasuk? Kodvar. You notice that? So that fits very nicely. It says, I'm going to write down the things, not all the things, meaning not everything that was there. That which was on the first Luchos that you broke, I'm going to write down. So here's the basic of these boards. So everything was on the first Luchos. Torah Shabbat Peh flew up to Shemayim. Moshe smashed them. Hashem says to Moshe, I'm going to write down the second Luchos that which was written on the first Luchos when you broke them. Now, that already is okay to say that. But now there's a problem. What's the Beis HaLevi's vort? What flew up to Shemayim? Torah Shabbat Peh. So what remained? According to the Beis HaLevi, what remained on the Luchos when Moshe broke them? No. All occurs to the Chassad. Oh. Now, if he's saying that Hashem wrote down in the second Luchos that which was on the first Luchos when Moshe broke them, that would mean writing down what? The whole Chumash. But is that true? No. We don't have the whole Chumash on the Luchos, even the second Luchos. So here, the Beis HaLevi has to get a little fancy, and he quotes the famous Rav Sanji Gaon that Rashi quotes. What's the famous Rav Sanji Gaon that Rashi quotes? Right, the Rav Sanji Gaon writes that all of the Tayag Mitzvos are basically hinted at in the Aseret HaDibro. Could be. No, well, the Ramban quotes it. It could be. Oh, so here's what he has to say. This is not the Pasuk Pshat. That I said, I'm going to write down the Aseret HaDibros, which, as the Rasag explains, basically is a remez to all Torah Shebichtav, and that's what remained on the Luchos Rishonos when you broke them. That's what he says. Amar Shekasav Aseret HaDvarim. Now, I'm reading the underlying parts. Amar Shekasav Aseret HaDvarim. Now, these next four words are critical for the whole vort, but the basic lady sort of just throws them in. But like, you know, like when I gave this year before once, and I've given this year, and I said, oh boy, these four words are really necessary. Like, you see, you read them slowly. You have to read them slowly. I mean, okay. Amar Shekasav Aseret HaDvarim. The Zehu HaKlal She Torah She Bichsav. He needs that. You see that? I wrote on the side. This line is necessary for the board to work. He needs this board, or it's not going to work. You with me? So, that four words, who said no? The Beis HaLevi says, Hashem says to Moshe, I'm going to write down on the second Luchos that which was on the first Luchos when you broke them. Oh. So on the way down, Torah Shabbat Peh flies up to Shemayim. So what's on the first Luchos when he broke them? But all of it, the whole Chumash. But Hashem only wrote on the second Luchos and Teres Adibros. That we know. I mean, I think people saw it. Yeah. So Hashem didn't write the whole Torah Shebichtav on the second Luchos. So how does it fit? Ah, the Aseret HaDibros basically include all of Torah Shebichtav. But as the Rav Sanji Gaon writes, the Aseret HaDibros are like headlines for all the mitzvos. So those four words, which are crucial, well, one second. The Zehu HaKal Shet Torah Shebichtav. Ukishenira B'Pasuk, oh. Lo Nizkar B'Shur Makom Linyan Ksiva
Aseres Hadvarim Rak Be'achronim Bo'ovar Rishonim. The phrase Aseres Hadvarim, which means what? What does that phrase mean? Aseres Hadvarim. That phrase you never find by the first Luchos. Every place the Torah uses the phrase Aseres Hadvarim, it's referring to writing of the second Luchos. Exactly, because in the first Luchos, it was a lot more than the Aseres Hadvarim. See, the Parshas Kitisa Amar Barishonim, quote, Mizeh Umisehem Ksuvim. By the second Luchos it says, by Yichto B'chui Aseres Hadvarim. Then, so that's one place where it says it by the second Luchos. U'parshas Ekev, Siv Nami B'rishonim. By the first Luchos it says, Ve'alehem Kichol Hadvarim. Remember we saw that phrase above. The Kichol means everything. Ve'achartach B'shniyos Amar. By Yichtov Alukos Kmichtov Harishon, Eis Aseres Hadvarim. Oh, it's a misprint. This should be Dvarim, not Dvarim. Dvarim. So by the second Lukos, it says Aseres Hadvarim. I asked before, the second Lukos did have the Nes of Hashem, this was on the second Lukos too. The letters been going through, yeah. That. But the added miracle of our choice of Malpel wasn't there. That's what he says here. That's what he says here. One second. Okay. So that's the Beis Halevi. Now, he then goes on to discuss that the next paragraph. He quotes in the Gemara in Erevin that just like there wouldn't have been any Golus had we not broken the first Luchos, there would have never been any forgetting things. We wouldn't have forgotten things. So as some of you were pointing out before, correctly, there would have been a whole different type of existence. The connection of us to the Torah would have been, he says, I guess he says it would have been different. Instead of us working in the Amelus in the way that we know now, it would have been more doing our best to understand what's written in front of us, what's spelled out in front of us. So that's what he says. One second. Yeah. So let's just get in the Medrash. Let's just read the last paragraph. He named Rufus Hashemim. Okay? What you pointed out, basically, he quotes in the Medrash. Let's read it inside. B'nei Baruchus Hashemim, by the second Luchos, Nishatcha Sar V'yegir Gedol Alomdim Alomdim. The idea of working hard and the difficulty of learning was nischadesh only by the second Luchos. Chada, number one, she nischadesh shem shichucha. That's when forgetting became possible. Until then, people wouldn't have forgotten it. L'kmosh shebein nuel, as I brought above, t'ilu lo nishtaba Luchos, ha'ilu lomedim be'enem shochem. We wouldn't have forgotten anything that we learned. The gam, more than that, the gam, Hare nitvoseitlem sar v'yigia ayde yetzahara hamavalbel. I think eshem or otam eshem. I guess eshem. Gam be'esli mutam uberishonim go hayetzahar sholi behem. Right, Chazal say that Bnei Israel reached a maimer of Adam Arishon. Before the faith, almost kilu by Matan Torah, whatever that means exactly. So the Yetzer, as we know, wouldn't have been shown on us. So when you learn Torah, not only would it have been no forgetting, it would have been a much purer learning. One of the reasons why it's hard to learn now, because now the Yetzer is always asking to get you this distraction, that distraction. There would have been no distractions, pure Torah, pure Kedusha, no forgetting. That would have been a much simpler. A much purer, simpler, easier type of learning. Bezelashon Hayakut, Sophie Yoshua. That's what the Yakut Shimoni said, then of Yoshua. Mishani Shabra Lukos, Nigzar Alehem, Shayomudu Tor Mitoch Hatchak, Umitoch Tu Hadas, Umitoch Kach, Skar Kapu Mukbal Olam Haba. After the Lukos were broken, the Gera was, we had to learn Torah with difficulty. and with being mixed up, tira patas being mixed up, and therefore we get more scar, etc. All the debate Torah about, I know, okay, that's a question. But the idea, that's what he said, that the whole concept of Torah, as we know, would have been different.
Okay, so that's the basic case, ladies. So part of the basic case, when the Luchos Rishonos were given, we wouldn't have had Torah Shebaal Peh as we know. Okay. When did the nation of Israel, now we're getting to the punchline for us, when did the nation of Israel receive the concept of Torah Shebaal Peh as we know it on Yom Kippur? So Yom Kippur, according to the Beis HaLevi, in a very real sense, becomes the Yomto of Matan Torah Torah Shebaal Peh. We have a few days of Matan Torah. We have Shavuos, Purim, and Yom Kippur, but that's another story. But let's just now. Shavuos is, in the Beis HaLevi's approach, you know, basically the Yomto of Matan Torah in general. But the specific focus of Torah Shebaal Peh is on Yom Kippur. Because only on Yom Kippur did we receive Torah Shebaal Peh as we know it. Now, Purim is also Yom Tov. Purim is also a day of Matan Torah. But what the Mefarshim say, not the Mefarshim, what Chazal say in the Medrash, there's a Medrash at the end. There's a Medrash Tanchuma in Parshas Noah, which says as follows. There's a famous question. You'll see why I'm putting this down in a second. I'm not going to tell you if I don't. I mean, I do that also sometimes, but I'm not doing it now. Okay. There's a big problem. It says in the Gemara, Kof Aleim Har Kigigis. Hashem forced the Torah upon us. Right? That's what it says in the Gemara. What's the Kasha on that? That's the answer. What's the kasha? What's the kasha? Not the Mishnah. We said not the Mishnah. Why did that be forced upon us? That's the famous question. That question everyone asks. Tosfos asked that question. He gives one answer. The Maral gives a very deep answer to that question. Beautiful answer to the Maral. But even though we accepted it, Hashem wanted us to feel as if it's forced upon us. We have to feel Torah's forced upon us, even if we accepted it already. It's a very deep concept. Okay. Chazal say that not the Mishnah was Torah Shebaal Peh. That's easy. Not so rough. A couple hundred pixels, whatever. Torah Shebaal Peh, whoa. Torah Shebaal Peh, all the details and this. And it's hard, and it's not just the facts, but the learning of it is so difficult. That was Kaphan Arkhidis. So that's what it says in Chazal. It says in Chazal, are you with me? That Kaphan Arkhidis, Torah Shebaal Peh, Kaphan Arkhidis, Torah Shebaal Peh. That Gemara, it's in Shabbat Adas Pekah. That Gemara that says, Kavan Har Yigis, that means there was something lacking in our Kabbalah Torah. When B'nai Yisrael received, there was something lacking. When was that? Lack is the wrong word. When was that? What? Deficiency. When was that deficiency corrected? When was it corrected on? Purim. So then Purim, then, according to Chazal, becomes a day of Matan Torah, of Torah Shebaal Peh. If you're interested in this topic, I discussed this at one length at certain time. There's a whole Ksav Sofer about this on the Chumash and also in the Shuvah. The whole idea of Purim is day of Matan Torah. That's why you eat and drink on Shavuos, the day of Matan Torah. Right? None of you ate and drank when they got the Torah. It's in the Rabban and Shmos Perek of Dal. And then on Shavuos, we got to eat and drink. And on Purim we eat and drink. The Tzatzofer says it's all the same thing. There's a special mitzvah to eat and drink and show you're happy on days of Matan Torah. Now, there's a famous saying in Kabbalah. I'm not sure if it's the Zohar or the Arizal. I'm not sure. I've seen it quoted. I never thought it was God. It's either the Zohar or the Arizal. That we have Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, the word is Yom Kippurim. Yom Kippurim. That they say that Yom Kippur is like Purim. That's what they say. Yom Kippur is like Purim. That's a famous statement. And there must be a dozen, if not more, explanations of that Yom Kippur is Kippur. What does that mean? What's the connection of Kippur and Purim? So Hashem has said, according to Beis HaLevi, this is a very deep shot. They're both days of Matan Torah, Torah Shebaal Peh.
No, the Beis Levi, the Beis Levi's mechad is one of mechadesh that Yom Kippur is the Torah Shabbat. Once you have the Beis Levi, Yom Kippur starts the Shabbat, and you have the Gemara of Purim is the Yom Kippur Torah Shabbat. Then you have a new shot in Yom Kippur.
Okay, technical question. What is that kind of
Yom Kippur? No, Yom Kippur is going to send Moshe down to 7 lukos. Sochah was earlier. So Moshe brings down the lukos, and it's here. Here's the lukos, and you should know, hey, a new idea, guys. With these lukos, I got to teach you everything. And now, Torah Shabbat begins.
Zorin Parakiyot Pasadalas, Zorin Yodalas, Parakiyot Pasadalas. The way he reads the psukim, there, you have to read, yet he explains it. By the first lukos, the plan was bring the lukos down. The plan was Moshe brought the Ara up. So the lukos came down in the Ara, which means, from Moshe writes, that nobody else ever saw the lukos. Well, I mean, well, maybe eventually when they, well, okay. Nobody else ever saw the lukos, at least originally. So when you think about it, Torah Shabbat Peh means Mesova. Torah Shabbat Peh means listen. I don't know what the question is. I asked my Rebbe, or my father, and he heard it from his Rebbe. He heard it from his Rebbe. Again, let's pretend there was no Gemara written down. It's just, you know, original, nothing written down. So everything I know about the Torah is Mesova. My Rebbe, his Rebbe, his Rebbe, Tamosha Rebbe. That's Mamash the Mesova. Torah Shabbat means Mesorah. Torah Shabbat, stop, you read it, it's there. Torah Shabbat Peh, no, it's all Mesorah. Without Mesorah, Torah Shabbat is meaningless. There's no Torah Shabbat without Mesorah. But most of it comes out that even the existence of Torah Shabbat, B'nai Yisrael had to rely on Moshe Rabbeinu. They had to trust them. They had to believe in the Mesorah. By the Lukos, I think a very deep shot that fits perfectly. Regarding Lukos Shneos, the very existence of the Lukos Shneos, in our eyes, depended on the Mesorah. So the idea of Yom Kippur being the day of Torah Shabbat Peh, the day of Mesorah, where we have to believe and trust in our Rabbanim, my Rebbe to his Rebbe to his Rebbe, back to Moshe Rabbeinu, even the existence and flourish of the crowd of the Lukos, how do we know they're in there? We trusted Moshe. That is a little bit that fits. It fits that on the ultimate day of Torah Shabbat Peh, which is the ultimate day of the Mesorah, even the Torah Shabbat is dependent on the Mesorah. To me, that fits. All of this is going to lead in to next class. Next class, we're going to discuss mostly about Salvatics, Ha'aroth, and Bort on the Avodah and Kippur. There's so much to discuss. There's so much to talk about. We're discussing the fact that Yom Kippur is the Yom Tov of Torah Shabbat Peh. That was last week's class. We went through the Beis Halevi carefully and inside, you know, step by step. We're done with that. What we're going to do now is sort of discuss some vorts of Rav Soloveitchik about the Avodah Yom Kippur, many of which sort of flow out of the Beis Halevi. Got it? Okay, number one is, you all have this sheet, right? The sheet I gave out to everyone from last time? Or is it in the booklet? Is it in the booklet? Okay. From Nefesh HaRav. Now, Parshas Achmet. Nefesh HaRav is, if you're interested, Rav Soloveitchik has a lot of Talmidim, thousands and thousands. Probably his two greatest Talmidim are Rav Schechter and Rav Buchenstein Shlita, both of them Shlita. Rav Schechter is one of the main rabbis in YU, and Rav Buchenstein is Rosh Yeshiva of Gush Etzion. Rav Buchenstein married the Rav's daughter. So Rav Schechter wrote a book called Nefesh HaRav. Nefesh HaRav, he presents his view of the Rav's basic hashkafas, and he has halachic ideas from Rav Soloveitchik, and hashkafic ideas, and reports on the Parsha. It's a very good sefer. Nefesh HaRav. So here it says here. So this is from Rav Soloveitchik. So we discussed how the Kohen Gadol goes to the mikveh five times on Yom Kippur. But if you read the Chumash in order, there are only really three times he goes to the mikveh. So Chazal pointed out how you have to use Torah Shabbat Peh,
that the way the Torah is written is not really what happened, and it was five times instead of three. Oh, so let's read. Behine. I'm going to start from like the middle of the 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12, 13 lines down. Behine. Behine. Okay, 13 lines down on the sheet. Everyone find it? Behine. I wish I had another one for you. I don't think I have an extra one. Oh, I have an extra one. Look at that. There you go. Yeah, Behine. Oh, and mine is underlined. Yeah. Look at that. I have a fancy one. Okay, let's go. Behine. Echad me'ashalosh regalim hu chag ha-shavuos. Vuzman matan toraseinu. V'tzori kohavim. My taima. What's the reason? Memtes. My taima. What's the reason? Bo'inan beiz yamim tovim. Lach kogini kabal satorah. Why do we have to have 2 days of kabal satorah? What are the 2 days of kabal satorah? What are they?
Shavuos and Yom Kippur.
Levar al pi yisod harav beis alevi. Shebeduchos harishon knows hayakol b'chsav. Kol torah kula. Garabos Torah Shabbat Peh, Mishneh, Talmud, Agadah, that Bil Komash, Talmud Vasig, Asidu Chadesh, everything was written down. Brakacharka, Keshachatu, Nigzar, Alem, Golos, Bechule, Nitlehem, and Torah Shabbat Peh, Levad. Vlohaya Kasab Aluchos, Raka, Seras, Ephraim, Levad, Dehainu Raka, Torah Shabbat Chsav. Right, that paragraph we learned last week in great, great detail. Umayat Nira Lomar, Dibbeis, Yom Tovim, Chogim, and Yanim Nifradim, Bekabal Torah. We celebrate two separate things. Tibeshvuas chogim kabbalas luchos arishonos. Tahayinu kabbalas torah shebichsav. Tibebchinas luchos arishonos. Iya kol o kasuv amrumas bekasuv shalayim. Benimsak kol yebchinas torah shebichsav. Uviyam kibur she nitznu az luchos arshneos nischarish az inyan torah shebalpeh. Benireh tizel mash chogim uviyam kibur betorah yom shin debatorah. Chomer yom kabbalas torah shebalpeh. Okay, skip the brackets. Umeata Nira Lomar Shabichade Leharos Shaisa Kabbalas Torah Shabbat Peh B'Yom Kippur Ufechade Leharos Ulehadgish Chashivuto V'Adivuto Shal Torah Shabbat Peh Ala Torah Shabbat Ksav Kosvo HaTorah Eseder Avodas Hayom Ksash Lo Al Eseder Uvaka Chachmos Mesinai Miuchedas Oros Chanu Shalom Nezel Basar Kosher B'Torah Shabbat Ksav. That based on this idea that Yom Kippur is the Yom Torah Shabbat Peh, it fits beautifully that the Avodas Yom Kippur in the Pesukim is totally different from what you actually did. Because you had to rely on what? On Torah Shabbat Peh. One of the themes of Yom Kippur is emphasizing how Torah Shabbat Peh overrides Torah Shabbat Ksav. We understand the Chumash based on Torah Shabbat Peh, period. That, and since Torah Shabbat Peh was given to us in its present form, you know, i.e. Baal Peh, on Yom Kippur, we want to use Yom Kippur as a day of emphasizing the uniqueness, the superiority, the chashivas of Torah Shabbat Peh. And that might be, this is like time of the Kruh. That might be why, on Yom Kippur, the Torah, what's written in the Torah, is so different from what actually happened. And just to add to this a slight little vort, I just wanted to emphasize that there are some places in the Chumash where Torah Shabbat Ksav is very concise, and Torah Shabbat Peh, there's a whole story. Like, Torah Shabbat Ksav, it's a Hilchos Shabbos. There are a few psukim about Melachos Shabbos. Torah Shabbat Peh, 39 Melachos, and it goes on and on. Here, by the Avodas Yom Kippur, the Torah is pretty long. It's a whole part, a whole parak. But it's very long, and it's supposed to do. You have to do Torah Shabbat Peh. So if you want to emphasize the uniqueness of Torah Shabbat Peh, you bedafka take a very long parak of Torah Shabbat Ksav and point out how that's not really the way it's supposed to be. You have to follow Torah Shabbat Peh. That's word number one. And I think it's mamish a beautiful vort. Okay, there's a similar vort in 1A. It's on your own. You know, there's a book called Yibri Hashkafa. Somebody took some of Rav Salvechik's essays and translated them into Hebrew. So, yeah, he has the same board there in a shortened form. The Rav adds to this in source number 2, which is as follows. I'll take your question in a second, okay? We saw in the Mishnayos that during the Avodah Yom Kippur, part of the Avodah is the Kohen Gadol reads from the Chumash. He reads from the Chumash. Okay. Now, in the old days, there was a takana that most people understood Aramaic. They didn't know Hebrew that well. So when the Torah was read in public, there was a maturgaman, a translator, who would stand there and translate and read unkelus, translate the Torah into Aramaic for the crowd. So you read a pasuk, then the maturgaman would be matargan. Okay? That's the maturgaman. My son just learned about the maturgaman in Mishnayos. Around 20 years before I did. I mean, it's another story. Okay. Baruch Hashem. So, now. The Mishnayos don't mention a maturgaman when the Kohen Gadol read. You don't mention it in the Mishnayos. So Rav Soloveitchik conjectures that he thinks the Kohen Gadol himself was the maturgaman. This is what he's saying now is a conjecture. He doesn't have a proof, but he thinks this is what happened. The Kohen Gadol read the pasuk and then read the Aramaic translation, and he thinks this fits exactly with the theme. The whole theme of Yom Kippur is Torah Shebaal Peh. Unkelus is considered what? What's Unkelus considered? Torah Shebaal Peh. He translates with explanation, the Chumash. It's not just like a word for it, he translates with explanation. So, to emphasize the importance of Torah Shebaal Peh, the Kohen Gadol read the Torah and was the maturgaman himself. He was the Torah Shebaal Peh himself. So the Rav thinks, this is conjecture, the Rav thinks that this also happened at the Avos Yom Kippur, and it fits with the theme of Yom Kippur. Right? He says here that, read the end of the second paragraph of source number 2. The underline, is there an underline in yours? The end of the second paragraph of source number 2. Yitochein ma'od, shebizman habayi sheni, haya kohen gadol atzmo. He did it himself. Especially on Yom Kippur, that the Kohen Gadol is saying, listen, I'm doing the Avodah today. I'm Torah Shebaal Peh-ing today. He wanted to emphasize the role of Torah Shebaal Peh. So that's one vort regarding the Kohen Gadol's kriyas. Okay. Now, this board is Rav Soloveitchik's idea. It's not a pashup shot, but again, it's an interesting board which fits with the theme. Now, let me just. Yeah. No, it's not. I'm sure it's not to be.
Okay, because of the shot is referring to the ranch shot part.
That's a good question. It's the Dibyash Gafa. Dibyash Gafa. Yeah. Because two follows one end. Anyway. Okay. Yes, Dibyash Gafa. Yeah. Now, when the Kohen Gadol reads from the Chumash, we saw he reads from Parshas Achrimos and Parshas Emor and Parshas Pinchas. Remember that? And he rolls the Torah. And then Pinchas, he doesn't read inside. Why not? Because it's not mitzvah to roll the whole Torah. It's weight. It's tirchut atzibur. It's not covered a Torah. So to roll the whole thing. So he reads inside Emor and Achrimos. Then he reads. Then he says, Parshas Pinchas Baal Peh. Now, the Mishnah says, let's read it inside. The Mishnah says, source 2a. The Mishnah says, That the Kohen Gadol says, Yoser mimasha karasi lifnechem kasuv kan. More than I read for you is written here. Now, pashiv shot, what's the pashiv shot of that line in the Mishnah? What's the pashiv shot? Yeah? Right. Pashiv shot is that even though I'm saying Parshas Pinchas by heart, it's inside the Chumash. More than what I read is written here. Meaning I read Achimos and Emor. I'm saying Pinchas. Yeah, but it's there. I'm just not reading it inside because it takes too long, whatever, to get there. The Rav thought maybe this line of the Mishnah meant something else. Yoser Mimasha Karasi Kutech Kasuf Khan is there's more to the Chumash than what I read. When you read Chumash, it's not just Chumash. That's Torah Shebichsav. What's also always there? Torah Shebaalpeh. That's the whole theme of Yom Kippur. The Kohen Gadol reads from the Chumash. He reads the Pesukim. Now, if you're a Jew listening, you're saying, hey, Mr. Kohen Gadol, what you just read is not what you just did. He goes, you're right. More than what I read is really written there. Because I read Torah Shebichsav. You have to have Torah Shebaalpeh, which adds and embellishes and explains what goes on in Torah Shebichsav. So maybe that line in the Mishnah is the Kohen Gadol making exactly this proclamation. Yom Kippur is Yom of Torah Shebaalpeh. There's more to the Torah than Torah Shebichsav. You hear? It's not Pashut Pshat in the Mishnah, but that might be what it means. B'tuizeh, lo ba lomar ki b'torah shebichsav yeshen od va'od, parshios. Kim sheis yoshe me'ashe Torah Shebichsav yesh Torah Shebaalpeh yefshar le'achis b'liashnir. You hear the board? Very nice idea. That might be also what the Kohen Gadol was getting at in that line of the Mishnah. It could be. Yes, it's interesting. The Mishnayos say, or no, the Brisa says that when the Kohen Gadol is taught for a week before Yom Kippur about the Avodah. The language of the Brisa is Mi Talmidov Shel Moshe. Teach the Kohen Gadol about the Avodah. Mi Talmidov Shel Moshe. That's the language. I don't remember if it's in the Mishnah or if the Mishnah or only in the Brisa. Anyone have the Mishnayos here that we learned? I don't think anyone. Okay. You have? No. But you have the actual Mishnayos themselves. Okay, whatever. I think it's in the Brisa. So why the emphasis on Talmidov Shel Moshe? Why is that emphasized? That who teaches the Kohen Gadol every year about the Avodah Yom Kippur for a week before Yom Kippur? Who teaches him? The Talmidov Shel Moshe. Why that emphasis? So the Rav says as follows.
Where does it say that?
It says it either in the Mishnah or in the Brisa. It's in the Brisa, I think. When the Brisa discusses the Kohen Gadol's preparation for Yom Kippur, it says the Moshe's Talmidim taught him. Now, why Moshe's Talmidim? Now, so the Rav points out, the Gemara says that this source 2b. We had 7 days of Miluyim. The 7 days of Miluim were the 7 days where Moshe trained Aaron and his sons in the Avodah. That's what it says in the Chumash. Moshe trained them in the Avodah during 7 days of Miluim. The point being that they didn't know how to do the Avodah exactly. Who heard from Hashem, the Torah Shebaalpeh, how to do all the Avodah? Moshe. So Moshe had to be the Baal Mesorah Torah Shebaalpeh for Aaron and his sons. They're doing the Avodah themselves. That's their job, not Moshe's job. Yeah, but they don't know what to do. The Torah says they don't know how to do Shechita, where to do Zrika. Hashem taught Moshe all these things. So Moshe taught them for those 7 days. So the Rav thinks that's the Vort. Moshe is the ultimate symbol of the Baal Mesorah Torah Shebaalpeh for the Kohanim. Moshe is the symbol of the Baal Mesorah Torah Shebaalpeh for the Kohanim. So every year, when the Kohen Gadol is getting ready for the Avodah, what does the Brisa emphasize? The Talmidov Shel Moshe have to teach him. We're doing Torah Shebaalpeh here. How to do the Avodah. We're emphasizing the Mesorah of Torah Shebaalpeh. We're going back to Moshe Rabbeinu. He gave the Mesorah of Torah Shebaalpeh to the Kohanim. So the Brisa emphasizes not Stam Enedut Hamad Chachamas. These people have to have the Mesorah from Moshe. They're giving the real Mesorah, the Torah Shebaalpeh, and the Avodah. So we emphasize Talmidov Shel Moshe. It also fits with this theme of Yom Kippur being the Yom of Torah Shebaalpeh. And that's what the Rav says there in source number 2b. About Torah Shebaalpeh. Okay, now take a few. In general, you should know the Briskers are very into the Avodah Yom Kippur. Rav Salvechik was I don't know how to say it. He was so into the avodah that he would give shirim out of all the time in the summer in YU, speeches, drushes. And they would like learn be'iyun, what was happening in the avodah, all of the ins and outs, like, you know, going deeper and deeper. And I understand the pshat is, since the whole theme of Yom Kippur is Torah Shebaal Peh, the Briskers, like the Beis Halevi's, you know, family, he's basically, he's the founder of the Brisker dynasty. He's Avchaim's father. So in the family, there was a Masorah to emphasize Torah Shebaal Peh on Yom Kippur. So that's why Briskers were like, they're just very into the Avodah. They're very into the giving Shirim of Torah Shebaal Peh on the Avodah. Like if you know, Rav Soloveitchik gave hundreds of Shirim on the Avodah Yom Kippur. Hundreds. And I think this is partially the reason. Rav Lichtenstein in Gush gives a shir on the Avodah Yom Kippur, the night of Yom Kippur. He sits. It's the only time he sits in the base medrash when he gives a shir. Normally he stands. He sits because he's fasting. And after davening's over, you know, davening ends, the night of Yom Kippur, he sits down to give a shir. The first year he gave the shir, it ended around 4 in the morning. Why? Because he starts giving shir to the whole yeshiva. And then when guys get tired, they leave, you know, because you have to be up the next day. You know, you have the whole day of davening. So guys leave, you know, as the shir goes on. He's just going on and on. So at around 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, the first year he gave the shir, like 20 guys left. And they're saying to themselves, well, he's still going. So I guess he doesn't want us to leave because he's still going, so we'll stay. And he was saying to himself, well, these 20 guys are still sitting there, so I guess they want to hear more shir, so I'll keep on going. And he just went on and on like the whole night. So then, since then, he made a rule, you know, it ends at, you know, whatever, 12:30 or 1 o'clock, you know, it ends. But it's part of the theme. There's a major, powerful connection of Yom Kippur and Torah Shebaal Peh, and especially in the Brisker world, they like. This is what I think the pshat is. It's part of the Masorah of Brisk, Torah Shebaal Peh, and Yom Kippur. Got it? Fine. Finally, something very interesting. Oh yeah, I'm sorry. No. Yeah, let's read it inside. The Rav says here. Yeah, but let's read Torah 3 inside. See, learning Torah Shebaal Peh on Yom Kippur is like expressing, I believe in Torah Shebaal Peh. I want to emphasize on the day of Torah Shebaal Peh, Torah Shebaal Peh. So you read it inside, but Shenavin v'nadgish yoser b'yoser et mechuyivatenu klapei hamasara Torah Shebaal Peh. Zel me'ein ani ma'amin. Yehudi shelamadnu v'tomi mos Moshe Rabbeinu, mos Ezra, asofer derech ha'odoros, etc. I believe in Torah Shebaal Peh. So we use Yom Kippur as like a day to be like a megaphone. Torah Shebaal Peh, Torah Shebaal Peh, that's what Kippur is all about. And so I learn Torah B'Iyun on Yom Kippur. Now, our custom is we read the Avodah Yom Kippur only at Musaf on Yom Kippur. Rav Soloveitchik pointed out that in the times of the Gaonim, this is not Xerox. In the times of the Gaonim, this is Xerox. Source 4 on the next page. In the times of the Gaonim, there were communities that read the Avodas Yom Kippur at every tefillah. It's not our custom. But still, you know, if there's a minigun Klai Yisrael, so like, what's it based on? Why would they read the Avodah every day? Now, why do we read the Avodah, by the way? Why do we read the Avodah at Musaf? What? Right. Exactly. Just like every Tfilas Musaf. We don't offer Kabbalas Musaf on Shabbos anymore because we don't have a base to make it. So what do? We say Musaf. We don't offer Kabbalas Musaf on Rosh Chodesh. So what do? We say Musaf. We don't offer Kabbalas Musaf on Yom Kippur. So we say the Avodah. We say the Musaf. We don't do the Avodah. So we say it. So it makes sense to say it once. Because you're doing it instead of doing it. Why every Tfilah? The Rav said, if you say that Yom Kippur is Yom Tov Torah Shebaal Peh, and the Avodas Yom Kippur symbolizes what? What does it symbolize? Torah Shebaal Peh. So in those communities, they read it at every tefillah as part of the Kedushas Hayom. What makes Yom Kippur special? What is the essence of Yom Kippur's Kedusha? Torah Shebaal Peh. How do I express that? Every single tefillah, read the Avodah. I'm not reading the Avodah because I'm doing it. I'm doing it once, tomorrow. But just like you say the bracha, Baruch Ato Hashem, Mekadesh Yisrael V'Yom HaKippurim, right? There's a mitzvah on every Yom Tov to express the unique Kedusha of that day. Right? You with me on that? Like we say, Baruch Ato Hashem, Melech HaHaaretz, Mocha Kol Avon Hoseinu, what's the bracha on Yom Kippur, right? Mocha Kol Avon Hoseinu, whatever, Mechaper, Baruch Mekadesh Yisrael V'Yom HaKippurim. So part of emphasizing the unique Kiddush of Yom Kippur is saying the Avodah. Because you're emphasizing Torah Shebaal Peh. It's a very beautiful, deep shot to a basically strange minhag. It's not our minhag. But this minhag was in Baghdad, it says. This minhag existed. What was the minhag based on? This is what the minhag was based on. To emphasize the uniqueness of Yom Kippur at every tefillah. What is Yom Kippur? Ah, the Avodah. What do you mean the Avodah? Ah, Avodah is Torah Shebaal Peh. Yom Kippur is Torah Shebaal Peh. It's a beautiful voice. Yeah.
Do you read it every day or just every tefillah on Yom Kippur?
Every tefillah on Yom Kippur, they read the Avodah. Maariv, Shacharis, Mincha, Musaf, Ne'ilah, whatever. Now, last class I mentioned that based on this Beis Halevi, you can have this board of Yom HaKippurim. Remember that? That's source number 5 on your sheet. That Yom Kippur is like Purim. How is Yom Kippur like Purim? So that's the Arizal. That Yom Kippur is Yom HaKippurim. Like Purim. What does that mean? The lots of Pshatim. So based on this, Rav Shechter says over, based on this, you can say that Purim is also the Yom Tov of Torah Shebaal Peh. As we discussed that they said Nasir v'Nishma about Torah Shebatzav. The Medrash says in Parshas Noach, I said, right? I think it's Medrash in Parshas Noach. It says, they said Nasir v'Nishma on Torah Shebatzav. Torah Shebaal Peh was forced upon them. But on Purim, they were re-mekabel Torah Shebaal Peh mi-ratzon. So Purim is linked with Torah Shebaal Peh. Yom Kippur is then, in a sense, like Purim. That they're both Torah Shebaal Peh days. That's another port. And finally, source number 6, I mentioned this last time too, from our Moshe, that the way the Pesukim come out, B'nai Yisrael never saw the second Luchos. Moshe brought the Aron up, and he put the Luchos into an Aron up on the mountain, and carried them down in the Aron. That's what Moshe points out. You can read it inside yourselves. So it comes out amazing that regarding the Luchos Shnios, which are Torah Shebaal Peh, the existence of the Luchos Shnios, we had to rely on what? Torah Shebaal Peh, Moshe Rabbeinu. For the very existence of Torah Shebaal Peh, of Torah Shebaal Peh, we had to rely on Moshe Rabbeinu. I think it fits as well that we're seeing the emphasis on Mesorah, the emphasis on Torah Shebaal Peh. You know, where's the Torah, Moshe? Oh, it's there. You have to trust me. And that we find emphasized by Luchos Shnios. Luchos Rishonos, Moshe was carrying down. B'nai Yisrael theoretically would have seen them had they not sinned. Luchos Shnios, he wasn't carrying down. They were in a box. The existence of the second Torah Shebaal Peh, the second Luchos, was dependent on our belief in Torah Shebaal Peh. So I think these are 5 or 6 vorts that fit and flow out of the Beis Halevi's drasha of Yom Kippur being Yom Tov Torah Shebaal Peh. Got it? Got it, yes. We don't know, but I think so. Moshe was carrying them down. I picture they would have seen them, and I mean, I meant they would have gone to the Aron, but the impression you get is they would have seen them. Right? Moshe was... Yeah. Rav, 1 second. Rav Moshe writes that. Yeah.
So this then is the Yisod of the Beis Halevi, that Yom Kippur is the Yom Tov of Torah Shebaal Peh, and how he uses that to explain Pesukim and Midrashim, and also together with that, the Shira of many Divrei Torah and Chidushim of Rav Saul Beitzik, that's all, on the Avodas Yom Kippur, and how many of those chidushim flow out of this basic yisod of his great-grandfather, that Yom Kippur is the Yom Tov of Torah Shebaal Peh, and other Divrei Torah on the Avodas Yom Kippur.
or in general, that fit into this thing. Okay. Now, before closing, I wanted to just explain another medrash, say over the Beis Levi's explanation of another medrash. It's the medrash which he opens with. The medrash says that Rav Yehuda bar Nachman Amar, that when Moshe wrote the Torah, there was a little bit of ink left over, and he was finished, and that little ink, he smeared, he passed it over his head, and from that was created the Karnei HaHod, those rays of light that Moshe had. It's a very, very interesting medrash. The leftover ink on Moshe's head, the rays of light. So what's shot in that medrash? So the Beis Levi explains as follows. The Karnei HaHod, Rashi on Chumash says, Moshe had only when he brought down the second Luchos. What's the idea? So the Beis Levi says, based on the whole Yisod that he developed, the following idea. By the first Luchos, everything was Bichsav, was written down. So by the first Luchos, so then, the Beis Levi writes, Yisrael v'HaTorah Shnei Inyanim. There were two separate things. The Jews would keep the Torah that was written on the Luchos. It's written on the Luchos, and you guard the Torah. I mean, you had to look things up, but we weren't one with the Torah. But by the Luchos Shnios, where the idea of Torah Shebal Peh was first developed. Torah Shebal Peh means you have to analyze and understand on your own and use human involvement to explain and to elaborate upon the Pesukim and to darshan with the Yud Gimel Midos Shetor Nidreshet Behem. So it comes out then that you're not just like a separate entity who's looking into the Torah to look something up to know what to do. You become the Chefza of the Torah itself. It's like the Torah is written. It's as if the Torah is written on you. He says the Jewish people become like the klaf shel Torah shebal peh. It's written on your heart. It's written on you because you have to analyze and understand it, and you're not just looking it up to see what's written on the Luchos. You become part of the Torah itself. You are absorbing the knowledge of Torah in yourself. You're creating it. You're becoming, in a sense, one with the Torah. That's the pshat, that the added ink. Moshe was writing everything down. By the first Luchos, everything was written down. The second Luchos, Hashem said, no, stop in the middle, Moshe. Just write down Torah Shebichsav. Torah Shebal Peh, in a sense, I'm going to write on you. And that's the pshat, that the ink was passed over Moshe's head, that the Torah Shebal Peh was written on Moshe himself, in a sense, i.e. the Torah Shebal Peh. And that's the chart of the Karnei Hod, that when Moshe Rabbeinu became one with the Torah, he had absorbed the Torah. He wasn't just reading what the Luchos said. He was involved in the creation of Torah Shebal Peh and the Habana of Torah Shebal Peh. That's the Ameilus and the Yegiyah that you need, and you become one with the Torah. Then he shined forth. Just like the Luchos themselves shine forth, the Beis Levi quotes, so too Moshe Rabbeinu shines forth as well. He says the Luchos hayazivo mavhik misofo veatzofo. There's a medrash that the Luchos shined forth from one level to another. Kemochein zachahu l'karnei ahod kiniz dachech gufo kehaluchos shebal peh. Moshe's body, his guf, became purified like the Luchos themselves. And that's pshat in the medrash, that there was little left over, and from that little left over was Karan or Panav of Moshe. It's a beautiful pshat in the medrash. The Torah Shebichsav is written on a chumash, on a klaf. Torah Shebal Peh is written on the hearts of the Balei HaMasorah, the hearts of every Jew. And that is exactly what the medrash is bringing out. And Moshe, who was the ultimate depository of Torah Shebal Peh, achieved this madrega that he was so kadosh, so much Torah Shebal Peh on his guf, on his neshama, that he shined forth Karan, with the Karnei Hod like the Luchos themselves. Okay. I wanted to add one more idea. First of all, I just wanted to mention the previous vort that I just said over to explain the medrash that the Beis Levi quotes. I actually heard that explanation from a friend of mine, Rav David Zarnest. David Zarnest, he's a friend of mine in my shul. He was giving he gave it Dvar Torah. He explained this whole Beis Halevi, and he explained that Medrash very well. And it was only after hearing his explanation that I really felt that I was able to explain the Medrash. So first I wanted to give him credit for that. And then I want to add on one more idea, which is that he spoke again in my shul, here in Beis Tefillah, in my shul in Ramat Beit Shemesh. And he added another idea that blends very well into this shir. This whole approach that, according to the Rav, that what the Beis Halevi says, that the first luchos were all Torah Shebichsav, and the second, and only by the second luchos did Bnei Yisrael really receive Torah Shebaal Peh as we know it for the first time, and therefore Yom Kippur becomes a Torah Shebaal Peh, the Yom Kippur of Torah Shebaal Peh, of Matan Torah of Torah Shebaal Peh. And that explains, as Rav Soloveitchik explained, the idea that the Avodas from Kippur is written out of order in the Chumash to teach, and that B'dafka is out of order in the Chumash to teach you the supremacy, the primacy of Torah Shebaal Peh over Torah Shebichsav. That on the day of the celebration of Matan Torah of Torah Shebaal Peh, we B'dafka have the Avodas from Kippur is B'dafka written and explained to develop the primacy of Torah Shebaal Peh. It really fits together beautifully. So working with that approach, he explained one other idea, which is as follows. The Avodas from Kippur is introduced with the mentioning of the death of Nadav ben Avihu. Achrei Moshe ben Aaron, Nadav ben Avihu. Why is that mentioned there? What's it doing there? How is that part of the, how does that blend in? How does that fit as a hakdama to the Avodas from Kippur? So there are several approaches. Rashi gives the pashut pshat that Aaron was given a warning to do the avoda correctly. Now, if you're given a warning and you're mentioned and you're told, Aaron and Nadav Avihu made a mistake and they were killed, so that's a more potent warning and Aaron's going to take it more seriously. That's like the pashut pshat that Rashi gives. The Netziv has a slightly different angle. The Netziv says, it's as follows. It says, Nadav and Avihu were killed by a musu, when they came close to Hashem. The Netziv says, we have a yesod here. This is just a basic yesod, that when you're chayiv misa b'dei shemayim, you don't always get killed right away. But if you do an aver that's chayiv misa b'dei shemayim in the palace of the king, in the Paltin Shemelch, the Netziv says, right in front of Hashem, then you're killed basically right away, instantly, or you're killed instantly, right away. Because you're doing the Aveir, it's right in front of Hashem. The Netziv says, this explains the idea that in the time of Bayis Sheni, the Gemara says in Yuma, Daf Yotesimud Beis, that when the Tzdukim would do the Avodas from Kippur wrong, they would be killed basically right away. Some say they were killed instantly, some say they were killed soon after Yom Kippur. What? Why? Because if you do Nisim Misim B'nei Shemayim, right in front of Hashem, it's a more severe Aveira. So Aaron HaKohen is about to embark on the Avodas from Kippur. So the warning is, you're about to do the Avodas from Kippur, where you're entering the Kodesh Kodashim, Hashem is giving a warning, be very careful not to do it wrong, because an Aveira inside the Kodesh Kodashim is a more severe Aveira. That's what the Netziv says. Rav Moshe Feinstein develops another approach, based on the idea of Chet Me'ava. A Chet Me'ava is a Chet out of a desire to get close to Hashem. None of you weren't tzaddikim. It wasn't a Chet of Taiva. It was a Chet of Ava. In their desire to get close to Hashem, they broke the boundaries. They went too far. This theme is developed by Rav Moshe. It's developed by the Netziv in Shmini, near the beginning of Shmini, and elsewhere. Also the Netziv by Korach, that you have the great tzaddikim, and they want to close to Hashem, but they go too far. That's called a Chet Me'ava. And Rav Moshe explains that Aaron HaKohen, as he's in the Avodas from Kippur, is about to get very close to Hashem, and there's a danger of Chet Me'ava. He's getting so close, he might get too close. So Aaron gets the special warning, don't make the same mistake that Nadav ben Avihu made. And that's why this is mentioned here. Okay. So what Rav David Zarnas wanted to say was basically one can blend together the approach of the Netziv and Rav Soloveitchik to the Avodah Yom Kippur with this idea of Chet Me'ava. What exactly is a Chet Me'ava? Chet Me'ava is where they made their own decision how to get close to Hashem. What they should have done was they should have asked. They should have asked Moshe Rabbeinu, is this the right approach? Rav Nevinzahl Shlita in his writings mentions in a few places, that's the mistake of Chet Me'ava. You have to go ask a Shiloh. You have a great idea how to serve Hashem. Wonderful. Go and ask a Posek, is it the right approach? This is Taka, one of the opinions in the Sifra, that this is exactly the mistake of Nadav and Avihu. The mistake was, the Sifra says, Lo Natu Eitza Mi Moshe. They didn't ask Moshe's advice. They had a great idea, but they should have asked Moshe's advice. Another way of saying Chet Me'ava is that you do not submit yourself to the authority of Torah Shebaal Peh. Moshe was the leader. Moshe was the posek. They should have asked Moshe, is this the right approach? So the Chet of Nadav and Avihu becomes the ultimate symbol of not submitting oneself to the authority of Torah Shebaal Peh. And that's exactly, they had a great idea in their minds, but they should have asked the Shaila. So it comes out then that the Chet of Nadav and Avihu and the fact that they were killed is a perfect introduction to the Avodah Yom Kippur. The Avodah Yom Kippur, based on what the Beis Halevi and the Rav say, is a classic expression of the authority, the primacy of Torah Shebaal Peh over Torah Shebichsav. You can't make your own decisions and fulfill the Chumash the way you want to. You have to submit yourself to the authority of Chazal. Nadav and Avihu should have asked the advice of Moshe and Aaron, and they didn't, and they were killed for it. So he wanted to. This is an angle on why the Misa of Nadav and Avihu introduces the Avodah Yom Kippur, because both have to do with the primacy, the authority of Torah Shebaal Peh. Oh, I thought it was a very, very deep shot, which he gave. Okay. So I just wanted to close with that idea that the different approaches as to why exactly the Torah introduces the Avodah Yom Kippur with the Chet, with the Misa of Nadav and Avihu, and one approach of one approach to that question of how they blend in and why the Misa introduces the Avodah Yom Kippur, I think fits very well with the theme which Rav Soloveitchik develops based on the Beis Halevi, that the Avodah Yom Kippur becomes the ultimate symbol or a symbol of the primacy of Torah Shebaal Peh over Torah Shebichsav, which fits very well with the idea that Yom Kippur is the Yom Matan Torah of Torah Shebaal Peh. Okay, we'll stop here.